This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
Couple of local baseball stories of interest. One Boomer alluded to is a story on Sunday that came out with Bob Clappich. And Bob Clappich said that there was an issue between Gerrit Cole and Brett Gardner after the spider tack thing happened in that early part of the season. We know that Gerrit Cole became the face of that thing and that press conference he had that was so incredibly awkward. So I guess there was some spider tack or something that was in the clubhouse, and Brett Gardner was trying to get a rise out of Gerrit Cole and trying to make him laugh about the whole situation, which, of course, is, as you said, you come from a ball-busting culture, and both you and I come from a ball-busting South Shore culture. You know, things like that are pretty common. You know, if there's something going on, you needle a guy about it, whatever. You know, sometimes he laughs, sometimes he gets upset. Well, apparently Gerrit Cole got very upset about it, did not want to laugh, and did not think it was like a fun clubhouse gag, and then got in the face of Brett Gardner, and it showed you how this issue truly did affect him both mentally and also on the mound all of last year. So that was an interesting one. If you would have asked me like two guys that would have gotten to an issue in the Yankees clubhouse this past year, Brett Gardner and Gerrit Cole probably wouldn't have been the two I would have picked.
Well, it also goes to show you just how intense the whole thing was for Gerrit Cole.
Yeah, absolutely.
And that's, you know, sometimes you you got to be aware, like if you're Brett Gardner, you just got to be aware of the sensitivities that surround the actual issue. And it's sometimes you can, you know, it's a fun thing to make a good joke about, but other times you just got to tread lightly because of, and we saw the whole press conference from Gerrit Cole. It was not pretty.
No.
And we actually were making fun of it the next day. And I'm sure Gerrit was probably very sensitive about all of it. And maybe that wasn't the best time for a joke.
Yeah, well, maybe it wasn't with the way that he reacted. But still, I mean, Brett Gardner's been in that clubhouse for over a decade at this point. You know, and he's gonna mess around. He's going to have some good times. You're just trying to bring some light to the situation.
Well, you know, when men are being men and you're trying to have a little fun with each other and, you know, like we were down at the Super Bowl and Craig said, you know, throw the ball as hard as you can at Al.
Telling you got pissed, yeah.
Right. Me and Craig got a good laugh out of it, but Al was just ticked and was ticked for sure. Like 3 days.
Yeah, no, I can understand.
Just couldn't handle it.
It's not as funny for everybody. Yeah, it's not as funny for everybody. The other thing is no one wants to work for the Mets. I've decided there's one guy who apparently is interested in the job, and it's Brian Sabian. And the reason that Brian Sabian is interested in the job, the old Giants GM who's still in the front office there, is because he doesn't have any power anymore because some younger guys came in. And Scott Harris is one of those younger guys that's there, who's the Giants general manager now, who just turned down the Mets. You know, the other part of this is, too, like, the Mets are going after guys who, like, all right, Theo Epstein left the Cubs and wants to be an owner somewhere, and he's working in Major League Baseball, so he wasn't going to come here. Billy Beane has never left Oakland. What was going to change now about him coming here? Scott Harris just got done with a 107-win season out with the Giants, and he's going to want to come. Like, some of these guys that they're going after just doesn't make any sense. Like, they're not going to say yes, and I appreciate going to the top of the top and asking, but, like, these stories about them getting rejected, it's one of two things is happening. One, they've got an unrealistic list, or two, nobody wants to work for Steve Cohen. So I don't know what it is.
Well, it's probably a little bit of both, but I would say that whoever does get the job, could you imagine that first press conference? Well, you are the eighth guy on the list. Yeah, how's that feel? How's that
exactly
make you feel?
That's what we're shaping up to right now. It was Theo, it was Billy Beane, it was Scott Harris, it was this, it was that, and now you're right. You're the 15th guy on the list. So how does that feel? And by the way, what's in your past? Because everybody's going to go dig through it.
I mean, it is, you know, it's not. And plus, I do believe that there is a level of trepidation by anybody who takes this job simply because of the intensity of the job. As, you know, other people around here are finding out right about now. Joe Judge is finding out about it. Joe Douglas is finding out about it. Rob Saleh is finding out about it. Daniel Jones has been living through it for 3 years. People find this stuff, you know, to be very distracting and also intense. Maybe somebody, you know, they can't find the right guy that wants to take all that stuff on. I mean, it's not an easy job, to say the least.
Yeah, and I'm not saying that everybody wanted to work for the Wilpons. There's no way that I'm saying that. But I also think that there's a, like, Steve Cohen is a scary guy to work for.
Yeah, he may be even worse to work for.
I mean, I do think that there is a perception out there that may be reality that Steve Cohen is going to be a tough guy to work for. And the fact that he's got a Twitter account, find me another owner in baseball that's got a Twitter account like that. Now, I know Mark Cuban has a Twitter account where he's saying a bunch of stuff, but, you know, very rarely is it stuff with the team or this or that.
He's more politically based.
Yeah, I mean, like, he's
business, politically, that kind of, he's based that way.
And I think people look at Mark Cuban as a global entrepreneur first and a owner of the Dallas Mavericks second. Right now, Steve Cohen, everybody, when you hear Steve Cohen, because he was so elusive prior to becoming the Mets owner, that everybody thinks of Steve Cohen is just as the Mets owner. And it's like, well, I don't want to deal with this guy.
Now you got your boy Mark Cuban is getting involved in prescription drug pricing.
I did not see that.
Yeah, I'm on top of that one.
Yeah, okay.
He wants to, you know, lower the cost of drug prices and wants to be able to do that and is going to create a company that's going to do exactly that.
No, that sounds good to me.
That's what he's claiming.
Well, let's lower some drug prices.
Like, there's going to be like, you know, 50 million people that he's got to get through before he can actually get to trying to lower the prices on something.
Okay. All right.
Especially nowadays.
Yeah. So I don't know who this guy's going to be. I don't know who the GM of the Mets is going to be. I don't know who the president's going to be. I don't know who the manager's going to be. You know, they wanted to get this done by the end of the World Series.
Doesn't look like that's going to happen.
All right. So there's one guy on this list who is the... Remember we were talking yesterday about how Al wants his broadcasters under 65 and he wants his general managers over
35.
50? I think it was like over 50.
Yeah, 50. 45 minimum, at the minimum.
All right, so there is a guy on this list as I'm researching people who is the Rays VP of player development, who apparently the Mets are interested in. His name is Peter Bendix. All right? So take a look, Al, at the first picture when you Google image Peter Bendix.
Yeah, I'm familiar with this fella.
You are familiar with this fella.
Yes.
And he looks like he is 15 years old.
Yes, he looks like a dork.
This guy, totally out, huh? Totally out?
I don't know. He seems quirky enough that I'd be interested.
Wait a second.
What do you think? What do you think his press conference is going to be like?
Because it would be so odd. Because it's one thing to be, you know, like the guy that the Cardinals hired, 35-year-old guy.
Yeah.
Who still looks like a man, like a young man, but a man. This looks like a child.
It does.
So this would be fun to have him here.
Oh, okay. But as a Mets fan, kind of. You wouldn't want a guy this young running your organization.
Probably not, no. I need some experience.
But for entertainment value.
Yeah, for what we do here, I'd love to have him.
So, Peter, what are you going to do with the Mets lineup? Well, I'm not really sure right now.
Yeah.
We're going to have to look at it all over.
I mean, how old is he?
He
looks like a teenager. And this one picture of him, have you seen the picture? The one picture where he's in the dugout? It's from last year.
He was in the dugout doing what?
Getting autographs, maybe?
How do you spell the name? B-E-N?
D-I-X.
D-I-X.
He's in his 13th season with the Rays.
All right. When did he start? As a fetus? This is insanity.
Wow. It says he's 34 years old.
Still, 34.
Which means he was 21 when he started there.
I guess he was started as an intern. I mean, I guess you don't judge a book by its cover.
No, you can't do that. I mean, you got to hear what he has to say.
He looks like a kid who won a contest in that picture in the dugout. But that's the best organization when it comes to getting the job done right now, man. Very little resources. They just turn over great executives. They're really smart. I mean, I would love this. You know what I want? Is I want a Peter Bendix press conference and Bruce Beck going, "Hey, Peter, what's your favorite color?" That's what I'm looking for.
Well, please. You know, look, the problem for whoever gets the job is going to be the whole thing about how does it feel to be like the ninth selection.
Oh, yeah, right.
And why did it take so long to get to you?
Imagine after all this, they just trot out the 34-year-old kid. Oh, God. Boy Wonder is the VP of baseball operations for the Mets. And then they bring in like an old salty manager. Wouldn't that be great? And then has to listen to this kid.
So from intern to VP, Rays information man, key to World Series run.
Yeah, he's got a resume.
So he was an intern.
Yep, yep.
Became
listen,
VP.
I love the story.
Yeah, the story's great.
I love the story. I just wish he were a little bit older, I guess. And he didn't look like a kid who won a contest.
So a lot of the skills I bring are synthesizing and explaining information, not necessarily just stats.
Oh, so he's a synthesizer.
Yeah, yeah, but so does the expert of the people who have been doing it for 30 years. So watching video, Bendix says, all that information is just trying to pick out which information is most helpful.
You know, I'm talking myself into it now. Now I want him. Now I want Bendix.
You want Bendix now?
Get him here. It makes a ton of sense.
Yeah, how do you even know, right?
You don't know. I mean, I'm just getting introduced to these guys. Like, I really don't know. I mean, and you are right, because some of these guys that they went after, I mean, these names, you have no clue. Like, so the last, like, there's a CBS Sports .com article that's got all these guys. So, like, Matt Arnold, you know, all these other candidates for the Mets GM job. Like, I don't know what these guys, like Matt Arnold, who's with the Brewers, Peter Bendix, who we're talking about, Dana Brown, who's a VP of scouting for the Braves, James Harris, who's a VP of player development in Cleveland, you know, all these other guys. So it's like, I don't know a damn thing about these guys. But then when I Googled Peter Bendix, I was like, whoa, we got ourselves a teenager on this list. But he's 34, and I love the story. Worked himself up. So,
well, he's one of these guys. It's like, you know, this World Series is going to be the analytics World Series, and whose geeks are smarter than the other geeks, and how get their players in line to face the right guys at the right moment.
This World Series is, I mean, will you watch any of this? Be honest. Do you really at all
care? I'll watch.
No buzz.
I'll definitely watch some of it. Yeah, definitely.
Really?
Yeah.
Why are you going to waste your time with Braves Astros? Let me just, like, read about it the next day. Like, I'm telling you, this, the fact that the Dodgers were in it last year, even though it was a pandemic season and 60-game regular season, the whole thing, I still think that this has the potential to be a worse-rated World Series than last year. I mean, this is the last thing that baseball wanted. I wonder if Rob Manfred is, like, happy or upset that the Astros are back in it. Because on one hand, he could be like, well, it shows that, you know, the reason that they won wasn't only cheating, so that makes me feel better about the situation. Or he could be like, man, this sucks because the team that everybody hates is in the World Series.
Well, the interesting thing about all of this as well is, remember where the All-Star game was supposed to be? It was supposed to be in Atlanta, and they moved it to Denver because of a voting controversy down there in the state of Georgia.
Sure.
Now they have the World Series in the state of Georgia. By the way, the state of Texas has the same law, pretty similar.
Yeah.
And so it's Texas and Georgia in the World Series, the, you know, supposedly, you know, the biggest platform that Major League Baseball has. And I guess he's not pulling the World Series out of Atlanta now.
No, the World Series is not going out of Atlanta. Case is in High Point, New Jersey. What's going on, Case?
Good morning, fellas. Yeah, I think you guys are missing the boat on this one. The Bendix guy seems to make sense here. You know, he's never been to a Hooters and is not going to get a DWI. He looks like a Jonah Hill SNL sketch. This makes complete sense.
Right, he's not of drinking age yet, so you don't have to worry about another Zach Scott situation. Oh, let's go to Brendan in Manalapan. What's going on, Brendan?
Hey, I just want to piggyback off that. Like you said, Jonah Hill, what did he play in Moneyball? He was a smart, analytic guy who led Billy Bean and the A's to that run. And I think, as a Mets fan, what else do we have to do? We suffered enough. Try something else. It's not like, you know, we're going to win the World Series every year. Give it another approach. Maybe he knows something different. The Tampa Bay Rays make it every year. Look how much they're spending. Maybe he knows something how they run their organization. It just goes back to trying a different approach and seeing maybe if the younger blood pushes out the older blood and see where it goes.
Yeah, I mean, at this point, I'm
something.
Right, exactly. At this point, but you know what? The last time they tried to do something really, really different, Brody Van Wagenen was the general manager, and we know how that worked out. Remember that? Well, they're trying something different. A little outside perspective coming into the organization.
Well, they also tried something different with Mickey Callaway, who was going to love his team.
Oh, my God.
Support his players.
Some of these guys.
Oh, my God.
I mean, I went through it the other day. I mean, it takes like 3 minutes to get through everybody. Just naming names of the guys that have been here and gone in the last 4 or 5 years. I mean, in some real doozies. Some real doozies. Mickey Callaway, Brody Van Wagenen, Adam Gase, oh, Mike Maccagnan, Pat Shermer. For the love of God. Boomer and Geo on the Fan.
Boomer and Geo.
That's CBS Sports Network. We've been here for all of it.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first 3 orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify has got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
It's the Morning Show with Boomer Esiason and Greg Giannotti. Boomer and Gio.
Apparently there's already ponding happening on the Sawmill River Parkway. I know Karen Stewart's been given some intense traffic reports. It's going to be an ugly, ugly day out there on the roads. You sent me a video. What road was that? Was that the Hutchinson Parkway or the Sawmill?
Yeah,
remember?
When I played at Sleepy Hollow and I was coming back down, it was either the Taconic, the Sawmill.
One of those roads.
One of those roads up there. I don't know.
Yeah.
That Robert Moses built, I guess, for Sunday drives or something. I'm not really sure. But, it was just completely flooded. And, you know, I'm driving a Raptor, so it was cool. I could get through everything. But, man, people driving those small little cars, like the Ravs and all those things.
Yeah.
They were getting stuck all over the place.
I know. I saw there was like a Prius next to you in that video, and I was like, you got to be kidding me. I was like, how's this car getting even through that?
And that that weather was probably about 2 to 3 inches of rain that had fallen in about 2 hours. This is supposed to be twice that.
Yeah, I know. Over a longer period of time, I think, but still twice that amount of rain.
It's like the Super Bowl for Karen Stewart right now.
It really is. You know, I'm supposed to pick up my Bronco today, man. I'm all fired up about this, but it's such an ugly day. Like, I don't want to ruin the experience.
Just go get it tomorrow.
But I'm, like, too excited about it.
I know. It's great. Great. Mine's in as well.
And I want to, like, drive it in the elements kind of, too.
Well, okay. Well, now's the time to do it, I guess.
Yeah, I just don't want to be, like, you know how they give you, like, the tutorial of everything when you get a new car? I just don't want to, like, you know, be out in the rain and it's supposed to look beautiful when you pick it up and everything. I don't want to be soaked, but... Yeah, I can't. Oh man, I can't wait.
They can have it in their garage or something.
Yeah, it's true. That is true. But then the second I take it out, it's like.
Most of the dealers have a garage.
Yeah, take big it garage.
In, they
can, yeah,
and they could walk you through it and everything.
Absolutely. I needed that good news yesterday. I got a picture from the dealership of the car.
Yep.
And I was like, oh man. I was like, after this week of the quarantine and everything else, and I was like, oh, it's the greatest sight.
You were so happy. You couldn't wait to send me a picture.
Oh, no, I did. I know. This is the picture that was sent to me, and then I was texting you a bunch of other stuff, and I was just like, you got to understand what these days are like here. So when you get, like, a piece of good news like that, it was just, like, the greatest thing ever. I felt like, you know, Rudy's dad when he saw the Notre Dame field for the first time when I saw that picture of the Bronco. This is the most beautiful sight that these two eyes have ever seen. I can't wait to have the thing. And the next time I drive to work, it'll be in the Bronco, which will be awesome.
Yes.
What the hell is after this life? Not a damn thing. We're warm food.
Jerry, please. I'm just coming back.
That was
I'm
a tape. That wasn't
I'm
me.
I'm just coming back from this. All right, Jerry, got an update for us? What's happening?
We are powered by Superbook, now open with better odds and favorable prices. Yes, we can do sports in a second if you will allow me a couple of moments to have some fun with
yes,
Alan Eddie.
Let's
are you
do
good
it.
With that?
Yeah.
So, Eddie, if you would like to hit the music for me, because it's time for a new game. Well, it's kind of a new game. It's sort of an old game. We've got new contestants, but really they're old contestants. And we're going to call this game, Is He a Nick, Is He a Net, or Is He a 1980s Met?
Huh.
Okay. So, contestant number one, he hails from Edison, New Jersey, married his high school sweetheart, as we know. He opted to raise dogs instead of have a family of his own. His interests include hiking. He likes watching fukakta football, as they call it. He likes to drink red wine, and lots of red wine. And good for him. Ladies and gentlemen, put your hands together, Eddie Scazzeri.
All right, Eddie.
Eddie Scazzeri. All right, contestant number two. He comes to us from the Jersey Shore town called Bradley Beach. His neighbors hate him. His condo oversees the Atlantic Ocean, yet 18 months there, he's never put his feet in the sand. But to each his own. He lives alone with his dog named Whimsy. That's fine. He comes across foxes in the middle of the night, yet here he is. His interests include listening to podcasts and watching murder mysteries. He's a talk show host and a sports producer at the biggest sports station in the country, yet he hates sports. God bless him. He's making it work. His name, Al Dukes, everybody.
Al Dukes.
Thank you very much. Yeah.
All right, so here we go. Here are the rules. We got, we got one, two, we got nine, so we can't have a tie. Well, I guess we could if you both screw up. We've got nine names. You're going to tell me, is he a Nick, a Net, or a former Met from the 1980s? So we will start with Eddie Scazzeri, number one. I'm going to try and get you guys off to a good start if we can. Eddie Scazzeri, name number one, LaMarcus Aldridge. Is he a Nick, a Net, or a 1980s Met?
A Net.
All right. Eddie's one for one. Got him out to a good start. Let's see if we can get Al out to a good start. One for Eddie, none for Al. Number two, the name, Alec Burks. A Nick, Net, or 1980s Met?
He's on the Knicks.
All right. There we go.
Right.
We
are good.
one and one.
Yes.
Eddie Scazzeri, the board back to you. Nerlens Noel.
He is a Nick.
Look at Eddie. Eddie knows what he's doing here.
Yes.
Two for Eddie, one for Al. Al, Scott Holman.
Scott Holman?
1980s
Met.
He is. Any idea who and when and what?
No.
1983 Mets pitcher. Well done, Al. We are tied 2-2 with five to go. Eddie Scazzeri. The next name for you, Mike Jurgensen.
Met.
Okay, excuse me. So sorry. No, so easy. Very good. 1981 utility man. Al Dukes to tie. Paul Millsap. Nick. Net.
Ooh.
1980s Met.
Net.
Wow.
Look at this.
Killers. This is boring.
I know. These guys know everything.
I am actually very impressed. 3-3. All right, here we go. Eddie Scazzeri for the lead. Bruce Brown. Nick, Net, or 1980s Met?
This is a guess. Nets.
Oh, man.
Oh,
damn.
Got it.
Eddie's got four. Al's got three. If Al misses this, Eddie will have a chance for the win for sure. Al Dukes. Taj Gibson.
Taj Gibson is on the Knicks.
Wow. This is terrible. All right. Eddie, well, let's see. You guys got to buzz in for this one to break the tie. All right? You got to buzz in. The final name on the list, Nick Nett or 1980s Met. Nicholas Sexton. Buzz in, anybody. You only got three choices. Take a guess. Anybody?
Nicholas Claxton?
Yeah. Anybody?
Nett.
Oh, my God. For the win. This is unbelievable.
Eddie, you didn't even try.
I had no idea.
There's only three guesses. Well, Eddie, Al, congratulations. You are the winner of
didn't
Nick
get
Nett.
One wrong?
No. How
we
about
nailed that.
That's
because we know sports.
Oh, Jesus, God.
Yeah.
Well, whatever. It worked for you. Nick Claxton is how they're referenced, so I changed it up a little bit. But very well done, Al. There you go.
All right, I'll give him one more. How about Jericho Sims?
A Nick.
Oh, my God. You guys are unbelievable.
That one was unfair, too.
Jesus.
And extra credit, Boomer, do you know this song that we've been listening to from the 60s?
Why are you asking me? I wasn't even paying attention to it. Trini Lopez.
No, Winchester Cathedral.
Winchester. Oh, yeah, okay.
There you go.
I wasn't even paying attention to
it. So there you go. They got all 10 with G's bonus question. Pretty, pretty impressive for sure. All right, we'll start with the basketball this hour since we just did Nick Nett or 1980s Met, and we will start with the Nets beating the Wizards 104-90. Kevin Durant at 25 points. Here was Steve Nash. Likes the way this team came out and played.
We were much more, I think, disciplined in the details. We got back. We got matched up. We were physical and talked and communicated. So those were our priorities. The guys responded, and I was really proud of their performance tonight.
Something they really hadn't done. Now, we just heard from Bruce Brown in our game. Here he is on the Fan with Carino and Capstraw. Says this team's still coming together.
Yeah, it's a new team. We got, I think, 10 new guys. Everybody's just trying to figure it out. We're trying to figure out the rotation. But we're going to be good. We're going to figure this out soon. So there's no worries.
And we can check in with Evan because he charts his rotations when he's at the games, which he was at last night. So the Knicks 2-2. Also last night, the Bulls beat the Raptors 111-108. DeMar DeRozan at 26. Chicago out to a 4-0 start. And your Knickerbockers take on the 76ers tonight. Here's RJ Barrett. This is going to be music to Boomer's ears and yours too, G, as he is still working towards a big goal.
The biggest part I've really been trying to work on is just my defense. You know, I want to be I want to be first team all defense. I want to be these things. I want to be that guy for this team.
There you go.
Oh, I love that.
Yeah, that's good.
By the way, I was also reading about Ben Simmons this morning, and they were saying how Daryl Morey says, well, they're getting closer, everything's good. And now Ben Simmons is not playing because of personal reasons.
Correct. Needs to clear his head.
He said he's not mentally ready yet to go out there and play. Yeah. They had a big meeting,
and they're still paying him.
Yeah, they're still paying him. Yep. They had a big meeting, though. Doc Rivers, Joel Embiid, Ben Simmons.
It's unbelievable. It is just,
But they didn't pay him when they kicked him out of practice and suspended him for the game. But I guess because it's personal reasons now and mental health, he does get paid?
Yep.
Okay.
God.
All right.
Just like Kyrie last year. He was gone for personal reasons, remember?
That's true. That is very true. But he also didn't have a fight with the organization.
Yeah, it's true.
And requested trade.
That too.
Yeah, that too. Yeah.
Right. Oh, by the way. Monday Night Football, Saints beat the Seahawks 13-10. Brian Johnson, the go-ahead and what turned out to be the game-winning 33-yard field goal with 1:56 to go in the fourth. Jameis Winston, a touchdown pass to Alvin Kamara. Here is Kamara. What a strange, strange night. We know the weather had a major effect on this game.
I didn't know what to expect. All I know is what we game plan for and what we did during the week. And, you know, every game has a life of its own. So that was just the flavor of this week.
And the Saints now 4-2 with the win. The Seahawks falling to 2-5. Geno Smith just 12 of 22 for 167 yards. And you can figure he had 84 yards of it on the one pass play, the one touchdown. He was sacked 5 times, struggle.
He had a horrific night holding on to the ball and taking bad sacks and taking his team out of field goal range, all sorts of stuff. That's what they're like. I don't know if you heard Pete Carroll after the game.
I did.
He was basically talking about Russell Wilson and how great Russell Wilson is and how we've won so many games because of Russell Wilson. This is why I've been here for so long. Just absolutely dumping all over Geno Smith.
Without doing it, yet doing it.
Right.
No doubt. Here was Robert Saleh. The Jets wind up trading a conditional 6th-round draft pick to the Eagles for quarterback Joe Flacco. This is after we found out that Zach Wilson will miss 2 to 4 weeks with the sprained knee. Saleh says the injury will allow Wilson to see the game a bit differently for the next few weeks.
Obviously, he is a big piece of this. The quarterback is a big piece of this. So for him to be able to just kind of watch, thankfully, it's not a serious injury, but to to watch, rehab, catch his breath.
He thinks it'll be a good thing for him going forward. Mike LaFleur, their offensive coordinator, was asked if he's concerned with the poor offensive output so far.
Yeah, it's totally alarming. You know, I mean, because again, that's what our record shows right now. I mean, that we're not winning football games. We're not having the success.
They have the one win on the season, and that be that. They take on the Bengals this Sunday. Bears head coach Matt Nagy tests positive for COVID-19. Packers wide receiver Devontae Adams did as well. They play the Cardinals Thursday night. The Cardinals activating Chandler Jones from the COVID list there. Also of note, the Rangers did lose last night, 5-1 to the Flames. It snapped their 4-game winning streak, and you got game one of the World Series tonight in Houston. It'll be Framber Valdez against Charlie Morton, Astros and Braves.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on List.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
It's the Morning Show with Boomer Esiason and Greg Giannotti. Boomer and Gio.
Remember, a couple of years ago, Carson Palmer came into our studio, and he talked about how he believed that Joe Burrow was not going to go to the Bengals, that the Bengals had the number one overall pick, and Joe Burrow was going to refuse to go there, and you made a bet with Carson Palmer for $100 that said he will absolutely go there because he's an Ohio kid. There's absolutely no way that the Bengals are going to pass on this. They're going to make it work. It's going to work, and obviously it did work, and it's working in a big way in his second year right now as they are the talk of the NFL. So Carson Palmer's got a history of throwing rumors out there on radio shows. Well, he did it again. So he was on with Dan Patrick, and they were talking about the USC head coaching job. And he blurts out a name that caught Dan Patrick off guard, so much so that Carson Palmer was like, is this the first time you're hearing this? And Dan Patrick goes, yeah. And Carson Palmer said, oops. And that name is Mike Tomlin of the Pittsburgh Steelers. And he said, and what gives this a little bit of credence is the fact that he said that he is involved in the coaching search, that he's as involved as they'll let me be, is what he said. So he's had discussions about this. This clearly has come up, and then he just blurted it out on a radio show. Now, he did preface it by saying, if he wants out, obviously, and he said maybe he will want out. It's Ben Roethlisberger's last year. He's going to have to start over with a rookie quarterback. Maybe this is a new challenge that he wants. So that, to me, that whole story, you want to talk about like 10 names I'd never link to USC. Mike Tomlin would probably be one of them. But Carson Palmer says that, hey, if Mike Tomlin wants to come here with a different challenge at the end of the Steeler run with Ben Roethlisberger, that USC is very interested in him.
That you know, that has not come up at all at the NFL today. Not one time have I heard that name linked to that job.
Yeah, I mean,
I've heard
Carson Palmer's in on
Carson right. Palmer's in on the conversations, though, man.
Yeah, I'm sure he is, as long as he stays in Idaho and doesn't have to go to USC and have meetings, I'm sure.
Yeah, right.
But interesting is that the only thing that I have heard from an NFL standpoint of a coach going back to college at this point is Joe Brady, the offense coordinator of the Carolina Panthers, potentially going back to LSU as their head coach.
Yeah, that's an interesting one. That makes sense, even though that offensive performance last week would make you think that Joe Brady doesn't know what he's doing, but we know that he does know what he's doing.
Well, it also goes to show you just how great Joe Burrow is.
Oh, sure. Absolutely. Yeah, I mean, so does the Carson Palmer missing on the Joe Burrow not going to the Bengals thing, because he seemed really confident about that.
But here's the thing. You know, Carson, his brother Jordan is the private quarterback coach for Joe Burrow in the offseason and leading up to that draft.
Yeah.
And Carson didn't have a great time in Cincinnati. So I'm sure he has a little bit of a bias against the team.
Yeah.
So I think that was more of that talking than anything else. And I love Carson. I thought Carson was a great guy when he played in Cincinnati, especially when he played in Arizona. He found his way again in Arizona. But I think he let his personal feelings get in the way of all that conversation about Joe Burrow.
Yeah, he definitely did. But what about this one then? I mean, where does this come from?
Well, this puts Mike Tomlin in a very awkward position, to say the least.
Oh, of course, because people are going to ask about it now. I mean, yes. Carson Palmer said it. He's one of their most famous alumni. So why not ask him about it in his next press conference, which I think is today at noon, actually. Mm-hmm. So that'll be interesting.
And you know what he's going to say.
I'm not going to answer to any of the assumptions made by former Bengal quarterbacks. It's not something that I'm into, whether it be Boomer Esiason, Kenny Anderson, Carson Palmer, Akili Smith. What those guys say is irrelevant to me.
Akili Smith. All right. Where is Akili Smith these days? I'm not sure.
I have no idea. I have absolutely no idea. Yeah, so I thought, I don't know. Here's another thing I think that goes on with Carson Palmer, is we learned a lot about him during that stretch where we had him on a couple times in over a two-month period or whatever. And I'm fascinated by his life. So he lives out there in Idaho. He doesn't watch any football. He will take some money from some sponsors to do some stuff, and he'll pop in and out to just get a payday here or there. And I absolutely love the guy. He's living a fantastic life. But he doesn't really grasp that his words have power. And I just think he gets on the phone with people, or he gets in the studio with us, and he just starts shooting from the hip. And then all of a sudden he's like, oh, yeah, that's right. People still care about sports.
Yes.
You know what I'm saying?
I hear you,
because he's out there totally disconnected in Idaho with his dogs and his four-wheelers and whatever the hell he's doing out there.
He's off-grid.
Fishing rods.
Right, he's off-grid.
And then he bops in and he's like, oh, yeah, we've been talking about Mike Tomlin at USC. That'd be kind of cool, right? And then the world blows up and he's like, oops. I don't even think he knows what he's doing.
Maybe Al should give him a call this morning.
Yeah, I mean, it's early out there, but if he wants to come on, then yeah, great.
Well, you got a connection with him.
Yeah, we do. I feel like you certainly do. I mean, there's no doubt about that.
Yeah, but no, I feel, though, as we as a show do, because we were supposed to go out and visit him. You remember that?
It was right before the pandemic.
Right before the pandemic, we were going to go out there.
Eddie was going to sleep in the bed with his dogs.
Right, catch him, Idaho, man. Here we come.
We were going to do shows out there and the whole thing and spend a week on his ranch, and then Boomer and I were going to be in the big house, and then the rest of the fellas were going to be in the guest house and with the dogs, and Eddie was going to sleep with Carson's dogs in the bed, and then the whole thing, he was going to hike around there.
Right.
And then the pandemic happened.
So I think Al probably still has his number. Why don't you just text him and see if he's available to discuss this Mike Tomlin to go to USC thing.
You got it.
And then we could also revisit the whole Joe Burrow thing, too, by the way, since that seems to be hot news these days. And by the way, so, you know, yesterday I do Monday QB with Adam Schein.
Yeah.
And, you know, of course he says hello and he says you're welcome in regards to the beef jerky that he sent over
absolutely.
For you.
Yes. Nice job, but, Adam. Thank you.
So Trent Green was in town and Rich Gannon was in town. I was talking to Trent Green. He did the Bengal game. Mm-hmm. And it was the first time that they actually had in-person meetings with the coaches and the players of the respective teams. And Joe Burrow came in with a green checkered suit on. And you know, Trent's like, I didn't know whether to laugh or not laugh or whatever. And on the inside of the suit, he had like a Spider-Man lining.
Okay, so it was like a Halloween thing?
No, he's like a big Marvel guy, but
is he?
But he's also the other day he was wearing SpongeBob shoes and had some sort of SpongeBob outfit on. the more people get to know Joe Burrow, the more unique people are going to realize he is. Like, people really don't know who he is just yet. Even though he won a national championship at LSU, he got hurt last year during his rookie season. The Bengals have been an afterthought for the last 4 or 5 years. And now, all of a sudden, he is front and center. And the more people get to know him and the more people get to see him, the more they're going to realize just what a truly great personality he is.
Yeah, I don't know much about his personality. When I think about him, I just think of a confident, determined
kid. Oh, he's confident,
man.
He is really confident.
I mean, that like the lasting image of him for me is him smoking that cigar in that LSU uniform in the locker room after winning the national championship and putting together one of the great seasons we've ever seen in college football.
He's got the perfect personality for Cincinnati, for the organization. I'm not talking about the city or any of that stuff, just for the organization. Like, his personality is big. It is boasted, you know, he's boastful, but you wouldn't know that publicly, but internally they know it. They see it. They see it every day in the practice field. They see it in the locker room. They see it the way he handles the players on the field. And you could just see by the way he plays just how poised and calm he is.
Yeah, I mean, and to bounce back from that knee injury in the way that he has this year is really impressive as well, because that was ugly. Oh, let's go down to Florida and talk to Harvey. What's going on, Harvey? Good morning.
Good morning, gentlemen.
Hey.
I got to call out Tom Brady for a really low-class moment last night when he was on with the Mannings. And my wife is a big Tom Brady fan, but when he made those comments about that guy who gave back the 600th ball, the guy was really trying to be a nice guy and do something for him. And Tom says he caved in too early and he lost all his leverage. Even if he thought that, he shouldn't have said that on national TV.
Yeah, I mean, Harvey, Tom's having a little fun there. They're joking around with Peyton Manning. He gave him essentially over $100,000 worth of stuff for that ball because he gave him one full Bitcoin. He gave him signed jerseys, hats, all sorts of other things, other footballs, whatever it was. So, I mean, if you really are getting worked up about that and saying they lost all his leverage, I mean, they're just busting balls on an alternate broadcast of Monday Night Football. Like,
remember the last time that Gronk was on there, he said he didn't watch film, and that created all sorts of stir, and he was just messing
hilarious,
around. They're
though.
All messing around.
Yeah,
everybody goes on there now is all trying to be funny and trying to say things that are going to be, you know, I would say somewhat sarcastic.
Sure.
That's how I feel that whole thing kind of delves into the sarcastic nature of the players ribbing each other.
Yeah, I mean, that's what the Manning-Brady relationship is now, is them just, you know, ripping each other apart in a good-natured way. Ron and Tom's... Sorry, go ahead.
It's like me and Phil on Sunday.
Yeah, exactly. Even though Phil actually hates you. Ron and Tom's River, New Jersey. What's going on, Ron?
Yo, Gio and Boomer. How are you?
All right, Ronnie, what's up, Ron? Brother?
I got to jump Gio a little bit. I remember in March, this guy said that the Manny cast is going to fall right on its face, somewhere along that. And
I don't think I said
buzz
that.
No buzz, baby.
I didn't say.
Gio never said that.
I never said that. That wasn't me. I wasn't me. Yeah, Boomer's the one who hates it.
Well, hold on. Everybody's putting words in everybody's mouth around here. No, I never said I hated it. I just said I said it's not for me. I'd rather just watch the game as opposed to those guys in three boxes talking about everything that they've done in their careers. I'd rather just watch the game.
Boomer.
What?
Boomer, you didn't like when Peyton Manning was slapping Jeff Saturday's ass 3 or 4 times? I mean, that's the type of product we need. We need you to go on NFL Today doing that. What the hell?
Yeah, well, it's a little different being on ESPN2 with Marshawn Lynch dropping F-bombs and me being there on Sunday morning on the NFL Today.
Right, yeah,
I mean,
exactly.
I'd love to drop an F-bomb or two, but, you know, that would be my last broadcast.
You can't do that on the Tiffany Network.
No, of course not.
After Face the Nation, here's Boomer slapping the ass of James Brown.
I mean, it's bad enough that Phil and I sometimes get called into the office and say, guys, you guys back off each other a little bit.
Yeah, here's a CBS Sunday morning, Face the Nation into the NFL Today. We got some ass slapping going on.
Right.
Bill Cowher slaps the ass of Phil Sims. Yeah, right, exactly. Yeah. Who could spit the farthest?
Right, so those guys are doing an alternate broadcast on ESPN2, and they're all sitting there at home and all having a good time and all talking about stories and things of that nature, which is great. We're in a completely different situation and environment.
Yeah, I don't really.
Marshawn Lynch had a couple shots last night, a Cavassier or whatever the hell he
does. Yeah, yeah, of course.
Hennessy,
which he also Hennessy. Said that he did before he played.
I used to drink, when I was younger, I used to drink a lot of cognac. I thought that was like the cool thing. But that stuff will really mess you up. I'm talking like in my 20s, you know, like, you know, you get like Jay-Z was rapping about Remy Martin and Hennessy and stuff. And I was like, oh, I got to be drinking that stuff. So I did.
Is that what made you run naked across the street in your apartment in Queens?
It might have been. It might have been, actually. That would not surprise me if that were the drink of choice when I put the Fandini over my head and then the rest of me naked into King's Deli and grabbed a cookie and left.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice-cold reward. Medela, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Medela is your reward. Medela, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
All right, football fans, the NFL Draft is almost here, and the free Odyssey app brings you the latest coverage from the biggest sports radio stations across the country. Which players will help your team the most? Who will make a draft day trade? Will they be ready for week 1? The local conversations about the team you love. All streaming free right here on the Odyssey app. AUDACY. Download it today.
It's the Morning Show with Boomer Esiason and Greg Giannotti. Boomer and Gio.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
O'Reilly Auto Parts.